How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
For me, it's just like saying, okay, that's awesome that you have those different interests and you can certainly pursue those different interests, but let's have a resume for each one of those interests. Instead of trying to make one square peg fit into this round hole, let's create a bunch of square pegs that fit into different square holes. All kinds of things just happen in life, and we all know that, but we gotta be prepared to protect our career, protect that investment you made in all those years of dental hygiene school and all the years since. Protect that as though it's a huge investment in your life, because it is. I love it when people are able to feel like they can still make a contribution in spite of the fact that we have all these difficult restrictions and things in place. They're heroes to me.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists, episode number 262. My name is Andrew.
And this is Michelle. Welcome to the podcast. Another episode.
It's hard because I know, okay, we're a dental podcast. We talk about dental stuff. We have our little intro. Then we have our guest coming on for today and all this other stuff. But I just want to jump into this one thing. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, okay.
It's not dental related. Can we start with a non-dental thing?
I feel like we 50-50 start with non-dental stuff.
Have you seen the Match.com commercial with Satan in it?
Yeah.
And 2020. Listeners, if you have not seen this commercial, it came out last year sometime, but the premise is really funny. It's basically the woman, her name is 2020, and Satan came around and they're matched together, and the little antics that they have of,
they're stealing toilet paper.
Yeah, 2020 is running out of this like bathroom, stealing toilet paper. There's a dumpster fire going on in the background on one of them, and they're like doing a selfie in front of it. They're so happy and in love. It's so funny. Oh, I'm so happy that, you know, this is our first regular episode of the new year, that 2020 is behind us, and hopefully 2021 is going to be going stronger.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you've also seen the meme that's like, I would like to go ahead and cancel my subscription to 2021 because the first 7-day free trial was garbage.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go ahead and cancel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing too, is like, you know, you would think that, okay, new year, everything's going to be brand new, but it's the same old stuff, like a continuation of 2020.
Yeah, it really is. So I think I mentioned last year, or at the end of last year, I'm working with Mouthwatch. And I mean, the people at Mouthwatch are just, I mean, they were friends of ours first. And I just get to now see them and talk to them every single day, which is fantastic. And Wednesday, when all of that went down, on Thursday, I was like, I don't know if this is probably the best thing to do to send to your boss, but I just kept sending Brant these like memes of like, I'm sorry, I can't answer emails. I'm like a little distressed about the Civil War. And he's like, funny, but
That's the thing about Brent,
but like
though,
still work.
He's funny that way, so I'm sure that's appropriate. Oh my gosh, I've never been able to send those kinds of things to my bosses ever.
I'm like really digging my work life. It's so great. These people are so fantastic. I've learned a lot about teledentistry. I'm even more fired up about it. I just did some interviews last week with some, because Mouthwatch does these Telly's awards, right? Like we've been to them all. Remember when we used to see each other and like we would go to these awards at Greater New York?
Oh yeah, those things. But what are they called? Conferences?
I know. It's hard. We haven't put that word out there in a while. Outside of virtual conference, which can all just cease to exist at this point.
Oh yeah.
And we would go to these awards, right? And so these great people who are doing amazing, innovative things in teledentistry would get an award. Well, I'm interviewing them for last year's 2020 awards. And I'm like fired up on their innovation. Like these people are just, they're using the technology as an adjunct to reach not just dental patients, but they're putting things in ERs. And the tablets and mouth and the cameras and everything, they're going, God, there was one hygienist, her name is Jingjing, and she is just crushing the nursing home, you know, when the pandemic, I don't want to give too much away because these haven't aired yet, but like, I'm just like, wow, I am so happy there are clinicians, these human beings out there that see that we can do something differently in dentistry. And yeah, like technology and cameras and teledentistry is not going to replace our hands-on services, obviously, like we get that. But there is so many other ways to supplement patient care and truly create a foundation in education, a foundation in follow-up, a foundation in referrals that isn't patients driving to your office, sitting in your chair, taking up all your PPE. I don't know. Like, I don't want to ramble too much, but that's where I'm just like, I feel their energy for innovation and it makes me super excited.
I can't remember exactly the phrase that you used in Dr. Pam's episode, but it was like something about necessity making innovation.
Oh, breeds innovation.
Yeah, breeds innovation. And all the things that have happened in 2020, that is one of the great things about it, is all of this innovation that is being forced into our lives. That's necessary. It was necessary change. We've always been slow on the pickup in dentistry, and this made us speed things up a lot faster.
Absolutely. Well, I also, this is our first episode that I am not in the interview.
Yes. Well, okay. So how do you feel, by the way, about all that?
So I think we are always pretty transparent here on the podcast, right? Like, you know, we said a while ago, like I was going strong with interviews and stuff for 5 years. And I think I've been a solid month off from really being in the podcast. And it was
kind of, yeah,
it felt good. It felt good, I will say. It felt good.
Well, you're definitely missed. I listened to our last our intro from like when we kind of made the announcement that you're not going to be here, and it gave my heart like flutters of being so scared of doing this without
panic.
You. I was so bad. I was like heavy chest, panic attacks, all of these things. It's look. So on our interview today, luckily though, we started off with a bunch of our friends. Like let's ease Andrew into the situation where he has to be in charge again. And we brought on Doug Perry, who everyone knows and loves Doug. One of the things I want to talk about with him, and we covered it pretty well, was my role now with Coast Dental is a lot of the interviewing, a lot of the kind of the screening process for these hygienists. With COVID, but also because of some other restrictions, we don't do working interviews, which most offices are able to do working interviews, but we can't do that across 100 plus offices and different states and all these different things. There's all these things for it. So I really wanted to ask him, like, what does the job market look like? What are the hygienists looking for? I did tell him kind of one of my scary stories of what happened, but, and you've already heard this because I called you almost immediately when it happened. I'm like, you won't believe what this happened. And then just kind of got some advice. So for everyone that's out there, and not to step on the interview too much, but we have a lot of power as hygienists right now. One of the things though, is that we have to really analyze what our strengths and weaknesses are. And a lot of times we're not very good at doing that ourselves. So please reach out to someone like Doug. Doug has done resumes for myself. He's done it for my mom. Like he's so good about resumes and helping you with a job search. But you need to reach out to a professional, I think. And now is the time to do that more than any other time. because they're going to help you find your strengths and your weaknesses. And then you are going to excel at the interview. You're going to excel at finding the right position for you that makes you happy. Again, we have a lot of power right now. We're looking for happiness and there's lots of opportunities. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Doug Perry. Before we get to the interview, we want to say a big thank you to Paradise Dental Technologies, or PDT, for supporting the continuing education portion of this podcast for so many years. If you do not know already, many of our full-length episodes count for CE. You'll find the links in the show notes, or you can sign up for our newsletter by going to ataleoftwohygienists.com. When you sign up for the newsletter, we will periodically send out links to shows that have expiring CE courses attached. And none of this could be possible without the support of the amazing people over at PDT. So check out their hygiene and other instruments at pdtdental.com. That's pdtdental.com. Now, on to the interview. All right. I would like to welcome back a very special, prominent guest of the podcast, a multi-returner, Doug Perry. Doug, thank you for being here today.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. It's my pleasure. Always enjoy being on the podcast and interacting with you and Michelle.
Well, and I love it because our audience just, they eat up your words so much. And we have a new focus on students that have really benefited from your past episodes and things. So it's been really amazing.
Oh, fantastic. I love it when students are being proactive with their job searches and taking it to that next level, because there's just so much that they can do.
You know, and I probably should actually say thank you as well. Most of our audience knows this. They went through and found the Dental Podcast Network Channel 1, but you had your own podcast on there for quite some time. Thank you for all the work that you did on that. But it was a weekly show. Audience, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It's still up on Dental Podcast Network Channel 1 if you search for that. But it was called Get Hired with Doug Perry. And it was on Fridays. And it was one of my favorite ones to listen to. It was always really inspirational, but it's always like it got you thinking about the job search. So thank you again for doing that for us and for the network.
Absolutely. You know, that was a fun time. I just got overwhelmed with helping people through the pandemic. It just became something that I had to step away from, but it kills me that I left people hanging. But I'm grateful that you still have the podcast up and running for people.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, though, because I feel like, gosh, you know, our audience, if you heard Doug before, you kind of know his background. But it's interesting that you're well known for this resume and job search within dentistry in the dental world. No one's better than you. Everyone goes to you. But it's interesting that, and if you're okay with deviating for just a minute, like you have a real job that you are responsible for doing. And can you tell us a little bit about what that job is?
I've worked for about 25 years in marketing and communications and public relations. And so my current job, and it's mostly been in the government / association membership space. But my current job is working for a school district here in Utah, kind of a smaller school district, but one that's in the main metro area of Salt Lake City. And so we have quite a number of students, about 6,000, and I am their public information officer, sort of their media spokesperson. So I, you know, interact with the press, answering questions about what it is that schools are doing. And particularly during the pandemic, that's been a lot of extra work because, as we all know, that's changed the way schools are doing things. And it's exciting and it's fun. Every day is different. But it has been definitely this year has been a challenge in keeping up with all those media requests and also some of the other tasks that I have, keeping up with their website and writing posts. And I actually have a couple of interns too that I hired from the high school that are helping me with some things. And one of the things I promised to help them with was a resume when they're done. So that'll be fun.
That's a good trade-off, I think, for them. That sounds awesome. Well, you know, I feel like that communication to the public, whether it's in dentistry or whether it's in what you're doing now with the schools, I feel like that's had to have evolved over the last several years, right? Because it used to be you'd find out what's happening in the schools through the local news channels, then internet, I guess.
Yeah, it really has changed. Public relations has changed in general quite a bit. It used to be you would rely, as a PR person, you would rely heavily on what the media was doing, and you would be pitching them stories constantly. But quite honestly, I can target my audience, the parents and the families and the students, far more effectively on my own without their help, just through some of the tools that we have today to communicate. You know, we have social media, we have a thing called Parent Square. It's sort of an app that we use to communicate out to families directly through their phones. And so we can get in touch with families far more effectively and far more easily using our own channels. We don't have to use the news media quite as much anymore. And it's unfortunate for them. It's kind of hurt their industry quite a bit, actually. But nevertheless, we do reach out to them. They do have questions for us, so we do respond to them. But our communications is much more dissected now to where we're more one-to-one with our families in terms of, you know, digitally one-to-one. When I say that, I mean digitally, not actually in person. Mm-hmm. So it has changed a lot. Yeah, for sure.
So the reason why I really wanted to have you on the show this time. So I have taken a new role as director of dental hygiene for a company called Coast Dental. Part of my role is now recruiting. Wow. And so I'm like, okay, Doug, you and I have to talk because I have seen so many things that are, oh my gosh, these are big red flags, or these are like, oh wow, this is really good. But I will tell you this, for our audience, Doug has done resumes for myself, for my mom, for a lot of my friends. They're amazing. But the problem that you and I had with that resume, and we'll get to kind of like what I'm seeing, but we'll talk about me for just a quick minute. The problem was paring it down, right? And isolating. I know you kept coming back to me like, Andrew, what is it that you actually want? Like, what is the goal of this resume and who are you targeting? And I feel like that's a huge obstacle that people aren't able to isolate. And so how do you help someone pare down if they have multiple things they want to put on a resume without cluttering the resume too much?
Well, I tell them you absolutely have to pare it down. You absolutely have to target it. You have to think about it from the perspective of the employer. They want to see that you're all in for them. They want to know because they will find people that are all in for them. They'll find people that will go out of the way and acknowledge the specific things that they're looking for in their cover letter, and they'll bring those out. And so on their resume, you have to think, what is it that they're looking for? What is it that they need? What problem am I solving for them? In other words, and how can I build my connection, my connectivity to them through that solving of that problem? And the better that you can do that, the more effective your resume is going to be, the more effective your job search is going to be. You're going to be able to get it down very quickly. So yes, there's a lot of people that have struggles with that. They're like, how do I get this down? I want to be this, and I also am open to this, and I think I'd be really good at that. And for me, it's just like saying, okay, that's awesome that you have those different interests, and you can certainly pursue those different interests, but let's have a resume for each one of those interests. Instead of trying to make one square peg fit into this round hole, let's create a bunch of square pegs that fit into different square holes.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah, let's just try to target these as much as possible, because you're not going to be successful being everything to everybody. I mean, it's just not the way it works today. You've got to be targeted.
Do you feel like a cover letter helps you also in that, or do you kind of go away from cover letters?
No, I definitely go to cover letters because of that. I think that helps bring out what it is you're targeting to do, what it is what your ambition is. So you can cater your message in your resume to be more generalized to, you know, anybody that's, let's say, for instance, you're looking for a dental sales job. You can cater it to be anything or effective to anybody that is hiring for dental sales positions. But your cover letter takes it a step further and allows you to target that particular company. You can say, I see you're looking for somebody with experience with Salesforce, or I see that you need somebody that can interact with dental professionals at their level, at a clinical level, you know, with that same mentality. And so then you can proceed to tell them how it is that you fit that solution. You are the solution for that need that they have. You can say in your job description, you want somebody with this many years of experience. I have this many years of experience and in sales, like you're what you're wanting. And I've done, you know, what it is that you're looking for. So it takes it a step further. That cover letter is really, really important because you can customize your resume a little bit, and you should as much as possible to the specific employer, but the cover letter takes it to another level, more of a personable level.
So let's bring it back to what I'm seeing now. So a lot of what I'm seeing is the opposite of what I did to you. And I'm seeing one liners, literally a sentence of, I've been a dental hygienist since 1996. I want a position with you. The end. So how do you help someone like that who, you know, in their mind, they go into work, they do the job, and then they leave, and that's what they've done for 25 years. How do you help them find creatively what else they've done?
Yeah, I just did a course with a dental hygiene group that talked all about this. And really, this is a long game plan that you have to put together. You have to kind of think through, you know, where is it that I want to go with my career? What is it that I want to do? And then you've got to be proactive in saving information that you accomplish, things that you do on a day-to-day basis. It's so hard because we get so bogged down in doing what we do every day that we forget to talk about or record it or keep some sort of an accurate record of what it is, you know, that we're working on, or the things that are unique that we're doing. And there's lots of unique experiences. So you can start creating things like case studies, you know, things of that where you had an actual impact on somebody's life.
Keep a
small case study of all of the positive outcomes you've achieved as an oral clinician, and not just as a, you know, the clinical side, but the interpersonal side. You know, how did I rescue this person from one who was offended at the front desk, and now I'm trying to help keep them in the chair coming back and being a loyal patient. What did you do to rescue them, to keep them from going to another office? Those kinds of things. Tell those stories. Those stories are impactful, and put them in narrative format so that you have a documentation of that throughout your entire career. Second one is testimonials. You know, gather testimonials from your employers, from your coworkers, from your patients, those that of course agree to it, because you can't violate HIPAA laws, obviously. But keep those testimonials throughout your career. Don't just, you know, gather them when you're job searching. Don't put all this stuff together when you're looking for a job. Put all this together throughout your career. Think of it as insurance to keep your career viable, to protect you from when the unknown happens. And the unknown does happen. I can tell you that almost on a daily basis. I have hygienists coming to me and saying, my dentist, he's selling the practice. Nobody knew about it. And all of a sudden I'm finding that, you know, I'm probably not going to be here for much longer, or they're going to retire. They didn't tell us they were going to retire, but they're going to retire. Or dentists that pass away, there could be toxic situations where, you know, all of a sudden they've hired this new person and they're just making your life miserable. All kinds of things just happen in life. And we all know that, but we've got to be prepared to protect our career, protect that investment you made in all those years of dental hygiene school and all the years since. Protect that as though it's a huge investment in your life, because it is. So again, there's all these little things that you can do, but always be saving that information and documenting it and keeping it where it's accessible, so that when it comes time for a job search, you've got all this litany of information that's going to be huge in helping you get your foot in the door for somebody.
You know, one thing that was really effective, I think, going along with what you're saying, that I was just recently interviewing a hygienist for a position, and, you know, she didn't document all those, you know, the patient kudos, the testimonials, the things like that. But over the last several years, a lot of offices have really gone to like Google and Yelp and all those types of reviews. So she asked me, she said, you know, Andrew, go ahead and look at this office. This is where I was working. And you can scroll through and you can find. So that way it's, you know, the patient is volunteering that information. It's not being supplied necessarily by the hygienist, so they're not violating any HIPAA. But, she had multiple amazing reviews on there. To me, that was important because we look at patient retention. A company is only going to be as successful as the retained patients that are continuing their care. And so the fact that, one, she brought that up, not me, that she was aware of the fact of how beneficial that is. And then two, she was aware of some of the tools and resources that she had, even if she didn't document it her own self. I think that was huge. And so I'm like, oh, you are a proactive hygienist. You are someone that I want to be a part of our company.
Yeah, exactly. You want things that demonstrate things. You know, it's great that we talk about ourselves in glowing terms, and we should, we have to. But when you can find evidences of that as a recruiter, then you know it's backed up by some action that they took. And that's important. I mean, you look for all those little things that indicate action.
So I have a story I wanted to tell you. It's a little bit cringeworthy, and I'm not going to say the names of the people involved, but I got a phone call. So what we do basically, let me just back up a little bit. For our recruiting process as a company, we have 116, I think, or more offices. And since COVID, we're trying to rebuild back up, and we're trying to get multiple hygienists to support a single doctor if possible. And so we're really going on a hiring like streak. And so even just last night, I had, you know, 4 interviews that got added to my schedule all within an hour, kind of at the end of the day, because that's, you know, how fast and furious we're going. And so you just never know what you're going to get as far as like, so we have junior recruiters, senior recruiters, and they kind of vet. And then if they pass through that, then they meet me and via like a phone call. And so I was speaking with this one individual and they said, you know, Andrew, I'm really looking to take the next step. And I think I've mastered clinical dental hygiene. I've pretty much done everything that you can do in dental hygiene. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty great. So they're like, yeah, I'm ready to be a mentor, or I'm ready to be like a regional trainer or whatever the next step is. I said, fantastic. So then my next questions, and your brain's probably already here, is how much experience do you have? And this individual told me 4 years. In 4 years, they mastered clinical dental hygiene. And I was so floored by that response. Because, yeah. And then I went to ask that individual, I said, okay, well, look, 4 years doesn't necessarily make you not good at your job, right? Let me fish out some more things to try and help you get there. Because myself, you know, director of hygiene, I've only been practicing hygiene since 2009, relatively young to be a director, right? So, but I think I'm still qualified because I had a whole nother career ahead of this. So I said, okay, individual, what are you currently doing for leadership positions? Like, what do you have? Like, whether it's like church group or anything, I don't really care what it is. Just like, tell me the things. And they said, well, I'm a leader in the local ADHA chapter or whatever. And so I'm like, okay. I was like, so what do you do there? And they said, well, this is my position. I'm like, oh, well, you know, have you thought about being president-elect or president or these, this and that and the other? And they said, oh, no, not during COVID. I would never want that kind of responsibility. I said, okay, look, oh. I can understand this. Look, I can understand that though, right? Because that is a huge responsibility. Sure. And like, if you're not the person, if you're not ready for that step, I think it's actually very smart to maybe not jump into that.
Points for honesty.
Right. So I said, great. I said, so what did you do then before you became a hygienist? Because I also have no idea the age of these individuals, right? And so they were like, well, you know, I was in hygiene school. I was like, okay, did you have a job during hygiene school? Did you have a job before hygiene? No, this is my first job ever. I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
So this individual came off a little bit strong on that interview. So tell me, how do you mix that? I'm confident, I'm strong, I want this job, because I think clinically they probably were pretty good, and probably they did turn, you know, offices around and do all those things. So how do you, in an interview, establish the fact that you're a credible candidate, even though, right, my view of it was like, wow, you're incredibly inexperienced and incredibly arrogant. Like, that's how it came off. So how do you marry the two?
Well, you know, in the case of your individual, it would be hard because they haven't done anything prior to dental hygiene, and they didn't do a whole lot since. They've done some. So I think what you're really trying to sell the employer on is potential. You know, you're saying, yeah, I recognize I don't have everything, you know, years and years of experience. I don't have a decade of experience working in an operatory, or I don't have a decade of experience in leadership positions outside the operatory where I've, you know, had opportunities to make big decisions and that kind of thing. but I've got this potential and I believe in myself and I believe in what I do. So you're selling them on who it is that you are that they don't know yet. And even themselves don't know yet, which is a very difficult thing because, you know, bottom line, when somebody says, I want somebody with 5 years, 10 years experience, and they don't have that, you wonder, okay, well, did they not see that in the introduction for the ad? Did they miss something, or are they just exceptionally confident in themselves? And so as an employer, as a recruiter, you're looking for, okay, do I get a sense that this person has that potential? Am I looking down into the minor leagues, to use a baseball analogy, and seeing this really, you know, strong proclivity for exceptional work for what I need done? And, you know, sometimes you'll have to dig deep as a recruiter, as an employer, to find that information to see, okay, are they just punching in and punching out, or do they take it to the next level as a hygienist, as a clinician? And so you kind of are watching for that potential. And as a job seeker, that's what you're trying to sell them on. And so you've got to look for those extra little things, those little things that you do that indicate potential, you know, that you've gone the extra mile to do this. You've done other things that other hygienists don't do to accomplish some greater good of some kind. You know, I can't give you specifics because it's going to be individual, but that's basically what you're trying to do, is sell them on your potential and help them see that it's more than just potential. It's going to be a reality at some point with this person. And maybe you're, as a recruiter, you're just saying, you know, thanks, and I can see that you're getting there, and I think you're going to be somebody that we're going to watch for in the future. And maybe that's enough for that person who's been in the field for 4 years. You know, I commanded some notice from them. I got an interview. And sometimes that's seen as a success for a job seeker for something that's an ambitious position. So anyway, that's kind of my take on it.
I would love, if you are looking for a job and you're a little bit younger / maybe not younger, but like younger in the profession or newer to the profession, a little bit inexperienced, I would love if they would reach out to someone like you or some sort of a coach and go through like how to present themselves. And I guess, you know what, let me back up a little bit, because that's not even necessarily true. I think everyone should, because I've also had, as an aside, these from a very specific part of the country that I'm interviewing, chatty people who will keep me on an interview. I will ask them very specific scenarios or questions. What do you do in this situation? How do you do that? And they will go on and on. And these interviews will be an hour long. They're supposed to be about 20 to 30 minutes. And so trying to also pair back in the interview portion and not be so chatty would be a very big help.
Yes. Yeah. You kind of have to read the person that's interviewing you too. I mean, it depends on if they're chatty, and you can usually do that. You can usually pick up on that vibe within, you know, 5 minutes of the interview. But you want to do what that there's a technique called mirroring, where you're mirroring what it is that you're seeing in this individual that's interviewing you, and giving that back to them a little bit in the same way that they're giving it to you. That exchange has sort of an equality to it, so that you're connecting with them, so that they are seeing you as somebody that would be likable or somebody that would be relatable. And that's really important in an interview, to be able to pick up on that. So I think you're right. There's people who they'll just kind of go on and on and on. And then there's people who will give you one word answers too. And you're trying to draw out of them, can you tell me a little bit more? You know, can you expound on that a little bit? You know, not just a yes, no answer. So it's kind of a tricky thing, but I agree. Everybody should go through some type of an interview training course or practice. You can do it with your friends. You can do it in front of a mirror for Pete's sake. So whatever it takes to get yourself improved. One other one, a great one, is to put your phone up on, you know, prop it up somehow and record yourself being interviewed.
Oh yeah.
So you can watch yourself and how you react, and also the cadence and the pace of your responses, the length of your responses, your posture. You can watch all those things and get a really good sense of, maybe, you know, show it to somebody else and say, what could I improve here? What could I do different? And get some ideas on that.
And be prepared to be a little uncomfortable when you see yourself back in that.
For sure.
You know, right. I mean, with audio, with the podcast, I mean, it took me forever to be able to tolerate my own voice. So,
yeah. And just know that you're not going to like who you are at first. Nobody does. Trust me. Yeah. Nobody. I've been doing this for a long time and I've been in PR and taking pictures of people. Nobody likes their photo taken. Nobody likes to see their or hear their voice or see themselves on camera. Nobody, nobody. So get over that. Just get over that and be who you are, because who you are is actually pretty great. And I think we're just extremely hard on ourselves, but there's no reason to think that you can't improve on it at the same time as you're going. And just get over the fact that you're not going to like what you see when you, when you first endeavor to do this.
It's interesting to me as someone who definitely doesn't like the way that they look and the way that they present and things like that. The one thing that kind of keeps me semi-sane when I have to do that kind of stuff, because Michelle always wants me to be taking pictures and videos all the time. I don't understand it. But the one thing that actually helps me with that is these people that are going to be seeing it have already seen you in person. They know who you are. They still like you anyway, or they don't, they hate me either way. But it's not because of the way I look. It's because of who I am, that they've already known that about me. So nothing changes just because you see yourself. It's still the real, you know, you're just seeing the real you. So, okay. So let me ask this. So kind of along those same lines where I'm seeing geographical differences in, you know, the kind of the personality types, are you seeing with your clients across the country that there's definitely either specific jobs from a region that they're targeting, changes that they're looking for, or anything along those lines that you could like place into like this, the Northwest always does this, the Southeast always does this?
I don't know if I could identify anything that's regional. I mean, there's certainly certain wording and phrases and things that is acceptable in certain areas of the country and others it's not, or it's not understood. And so, you know, when I throw out terms like, okay, here's a good one. In certain regions of the country, the word empathic is how you would describe empathy. And in other parts, it's empathetic. And I had no idea that. I always look to empathic, and maybe that's the region that I'm in, but there is a region and a section of the country that is empathetic. And so I have to kind of watch for that a little bit as a resume writer, but I also, you know, make it very clear that, hey, this is me trying to understand you and us getting together. And so you find something that doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't sound right to you, and let's change it. As far as job searching goes, the one thing that I have pinpointed this year has been just the roller coaster of a ride that it's been because of the pandemic. When things shut down in March, everything shut down, as we all know. And it was a good month and a half before things started to look like they were going to lighten up a little bit in terms of health department restrictions and guidelines and things. And so that month and a half, maybe even 2 months there, my business, it pretty much dried up. There wasn't too much going on for obvious reasons. But as soon as things started to look a little bit different, like in May, I would say through May, all of a sudden things just exploded. And it was interesting because I work in, obviously, with dental hygienists. The interesting thing was the explosion was almost entirely of dental hygienists who were wanting to get out of dental hygiene, or at least out of clinical work. A lot of them still wanted to leverage their experience, their background in clinical work, but they wanted to get away from the new restrictions that they were going to have. And if they were on the fence at all before because of injuries or illness or various things, you know, reasons, sometimes it's the monotony of the boredom of just cleaning teeth all day. You know, if they were already on the fence for those reasons, they were off the fence and they were ready to move in a different direction after the pandemic was underway about 2 months. And so I saw this massive influx of people.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry to cut you off, but because you have this article in Dental Post, I want to make sure that everyone has a chance, and I'll put a link for it in the show notes. But in there, you're talking about this very specific thing of, and you just mentioned it, that how to manage the PPE portion of it, Is that the real concern that you're seeing, or is it really about the safety aspect of getting, of wanting to do all this change that you're talking about?
You know, it was a mix, and I have to go with what they're telling me. I sometimes can read into it a little bit, but generally what people were telling me was, it was a good mix. Half said, you know, the PPE is not comfortable for me. I don't like wearing two masks and it digs in my face and that kind of thing. And then there was also a crowd who were really genuinely concerned because they have an underlying health condition that they were going to contract COVID at work, and even with all the PPE. And so there was some genuine anxiety over both of those issues, and justifiably so. I think it's just a lot tougher. There was a lot of healthcare professions, let's be honest, that were a lot tougher, and other professions. Like you mentioned, I work in public education, and I saw it from teachers. They're very concerned. They're still very concerned about it. And those were the two main things. But again, a lot of these folks were somewhat on the fence already. They were either wanting something different from their career, or they have some sort of an injury or health condition that they know that their days are numbered as a clinician. And so they saw this as, okay, this is the time. This is the time for me to jump. And there was a lot of them that did jump. Some of them stayed in. And that's, you know, amazing. I love it when people are able to feel like they can still make a contribution in spite of the fact that we have all these difficult restrictions and things in place. They're heroes to me. So
yeah, for sure.
Hats off
for
to them.
Sure. So what are opportunities that are out there right now for, you know, because I would assume that a lot of people have already been applying for some of these, you know, sales jobs, corporate jobs, and things like that. What else is out there that they could be looking at?
A lot of them are looking at doing some kind of an administrative work. They love dentistry. They have a lot of clinical experience, but they would like to do something that's maybe from behind a desk or out talking to people more, educating. Clinicians, dental hygiene clinicians, are educators at heart, and they have that as a skill set. And so they want to leverage that and teach people about oral systemic health, whether it's, you know, somebody working as a clinician, a dental hygienist in a hospital setting, or in a long-term care facility. You know, they would love to be able to get out and do that, to use their knowledge to teach people still. And then there's others who want to work in the private sector and corporations who are manufacturing products and services in dentistry, and helping educate their fellow professionals, their colleagues, on, you know, the latest and greatest products and services that are out there in dentistry. That's something that appeals to a lot of people as well. You mentioned sales. There's obviously people who want to get into education. I've seen some of those. People that want to get into even just dental billing, that seems to interest them, and that's something that they feel like that, you know, they've got a little bit of experience with dental coding, and so medical coding, and they feel like they can make some contributions in that way and still keep their foot in the healthcare field in some way. And then I've seen people who want to completely jump out of it entirely into other fields like accounting or human resources or other areas. I always like it when
real estate's been a big one, I've heard.
Real estate. Yeah. My wife did that, is actually doing that right now. She's been selling houses, but she's also temping a little bit on the side. So she's kind of got the best of both worlds right now, at least what she considers the best of both worlds, where she's able to keep her foot in the door, leverage that experience in dentistry, help, you know, an office out here and there when she feels like it. And then at the same time, push her real estate business and other interests that she has.
So let me ask you this. We're going to need to finish up here in just a couple seconds. But if a hygienist, you know, has been, they got back into the op, they've been doing these things, and they're like, well, I'm not really sure what I want to do. Or it's a student who's saying, like, you know, the future is uncertain. What are things for each of them that they should be doing right this minute to prepare for the future?
Now, you're saying people who want to stay in clinical dental hygiene?
Or because we just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, maybe they don't want to stay in clinical hygiene. Like, what should everybody be doing just in case something happens, we have to close down again?
Right. So it goes back to, you know, keeping track of your testimonials, that people say things that are great about you, keeping track of that, keeping track of case studies things that you accomplish, going and getting additional training, doing some serious assessments on what it is that you see yourself doing in 5, 10, 15, even 20 years from now. You know, really having a heart to heart with yourself. Everybody thinks that they're going to stay in the, not everybody, but a lot of people think that they're going to stay in the same job forever. And that's could have been the case many, many years ago and still is the case on rare, rare occasions. But there are a lot of people who find themselves having to make a career change of some sort. And so just being prepared with as much education and training and, you know, tracking of your results, your accomplishments, your skill sets, the things that you can do, you know, just branching out as much as you possibly can to prepare yourself. That really should be a lifelong career pursuit, is to diversify your career as much as you possibly can for the, just to prepare, if nothing else, for the unknown. And if the unknown doesn't occur in your life, hey, you know, great. Then you've found a job that works for you and that you've been able to make a big difference for. But man, it makes a lot of sense to me to be prepared for almost anything at this point, just so that you're protecting that investment in your education and your experience.
Yep, absolutely. Doug, it's always great having you on. We could talk for hours. I have more stories, but I'll tell you offline about some. It gets worse than the story I told you. Thank you so much. If anyone wanted to reach out to you, if they're going to need some help with resume job search, there's a whole other thing about job search we didn't even get to today. So I know they're going to have questions. How can they reach you?
Yeah, my website is gethiredrdh.com. So gethired, hired.com. My email address is gethiredrdh@gmail.com. And if you want to reach out and set up a time to call, you could call me at 801-683-9664. Any three of those ways is going to connect with me pretty easily.
Fantastic. Everyone, that's in the show notes also. So don't feel like you had to write that down. If you're driving, just go click on the show notes and then his number will be there. Again, thank you, Doug. Have a great week.
Thank you, Andrew. And congratulations on your new job. I think that's exciting and I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, another great week, another great episode. We thank you all so much for listening each week. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, whatever podcasting app you're using. Also, just a reminder, our guests are so fantastic that they love when you reach out. They love when you interact with them on social media. And you can interact with us on social media as well at Instagram or Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn. You can find us at A Tale of Two Hygienists. You can also go to our website, ataleoftwohygienists.com. And we would love for you to go there and subscribe for our newsletter. We have lots of stuff on our website. We have a learning center. You can search for any episode. This is an easy place for you to find the links for our CE courses and take the test. There's just so much more there. So head over to ataleoftwohygienists.com. And if you want, you can also send us an email. I'm Michelle at ataleoftwohygienists.com. And then there's Andrew, who is Andrew at ataleoftwohygienists.com. And we just want to say thank you so much. If you love this episode and you're loving the podcast, we would love for you to subscribe and leave us a review. And, you know, 5-star, go ahead and do it. 5-star, just hit that 5-star and then leave us a review. We really appreciate it. We love reading them. It fuels our fire and we just appreciate you guys so much. I think that's it, Andrew. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye, y'all.